Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Tes. The Gemara opens up with a point that was mentioned at the latter part of our previous shiur on Daf Ches Omid Beis, and hence we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text enabling you to align this with that which we saw back there at the second line from the bottom of Daf Ches Omid Beis, where the Gemara dealt with the concept of adding onto sanctity. That if you have a period of time that is considered holy, we start observing the holiness from a little bit before the official beginning time. We saw that in the context of the Yovel year in our previous discussion. We made an allusion to a practice that we have regarding Shabbos, where we add to the time that's observed as Shabbos, we add to it as well. We spoke about adding to it at the end of Shabbos, where we don't end the Shabbos at the official earliest point in time, but we extend it a bit. And in fact, we extend Shabbos from the beginning as well. So this whole concept of being moisif Mehachil al HaKodesh is the topic we open up with. Before we begin the actual Gemara, there are some structural notes to point out, and on the side we have the Nosei Mivneh heading, the structural, topic heading. The Nosei is the topic, Mivneh is the structural note, combined into one note here. You can see a diamond appears, and Roman numerals 1 and 2, they'll also appear along the side of the Gemara. These are makoros, these are sources, the mosifin mechol al hakodesh, that we add from the mundane onto that which is holy. Approach number one is from a posuk mi bechoreshu v'chotzir tishbois. That's a posuk that will be darshened. And a second approach is taken, or is based on a posuk that deals with Yom Kippur, where it says v'inisem es nafshoy sechem b'tisha v'chulei. So now we turn to the Gemara. Four lines from the top, Ubedemoisifen Mechol al HaKodesh Menolan. From where do we know that we add from that which is mundane, common, onto that which is holy? In other words, we extend the time. From where do we know that? Disanya. Bechorosh v'kotzer tishbos. We should note that this pasuk is included in the side of our Shas Ozer Gemaras, and it says in Shmos Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chof Aleph, Sheshes Yomim Tavoid Ubayoim Hashvi Tishbois Bechorosh v'kotzer tishbos. When you read the beginning of the pasuk, it's clear that it's a reference to the Shabbos day, the Sabbath day that we observe every single week. The end of the pasuk, Bechorosh v'kotzer tishbois, Rabbi Akiva takes that to refer to the Shemitah year, the seventh year in the seven-year sabbatical cycle. Rabbi Kiva Oimer. Now, in this source, there are two approaches to darshaning this pasuk. We are initially going to de-emphasize the second approach, and you'll see a few lines later, that's why a bracketed section appears, because we don't want that to confuse us with what we're dealing with right now. So Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eino Tzorech Loimar, even though the beginning of the Pasuk deals with Shabbos, the end of the Pasuk deals with Shemitah. And he says, Eino Tzorech Loimar, Choresh V'Kotzer Shel Shvias, I don't need a Pasuk to tell me that you shouldn't Choresh is plow, Kotzer is harvest during the Shemitah year. Sharek Kfar Nemar, there's a Pasuk that already says to cease and desist from all agricultural activities in the seventh year. It says in Vayikra, Perikov Hei, Sodcha Lo Sizra V'chulei. And in that pasuk, which talks about the Shemitah year, the Torah warns against engaging in agricultural activities. It says Sodcha Lo Sizra, V'charmacha Lo Sizmor, all regarding the seventh year. So what do I need this pasuk b'chorish uvekosir tishbos for? Ella, chorish shel erev shvius hanichnas l'shvius. It's talking about plowing on the sixth year. Erev shvius means the eve of the seventh year. So plowing that one might have thought to do on the sixth year to benefit the growth of trees in the seventh year, one is not allowed to do that. The kotsir shel shvius, ayotze lemoitzoi shvius. Grains that developed a third of their development in the seventh year. You are not to harvest them in the eighth year, in the as if it were a common, regular harvest. In other words, those grains have kedushas shviyas to them. They have the sanctity of the Shemitah year. What do we see? We see from Chorosh uvekotsir, we see the concept of sanctity extending in both directions, at the beginning, before the entrance of the seventh year, and sanctity being manifest even after the seventh year calendar-wise has finished. Now, we continue in the Tanaic source, but you have to realize that the reason we brought this source in the meantime is to show that we're Moisif Mechol al HaKodesh, and we see that through Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, says that the whole Pasuk is dealing with the day of Shabbos and has nothing to do with being Moisif Mechol HaKodesh. When we finish this Tanaic source, you see at the end of the bracketed section, the Gemara will be interested in, well, how does Rabbi Shmuel know the concept of Moisif Mechol HaKodesh? Because he does not learn it from over here. So what does he learn from Chorosh V'Kotzir? Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Ma Chorosh Rishus, Av Kotzir Rishus. When Shabbos is prohibited in these activities, we take a look at the nature of these activities. Harisha, for example, plowing, there is no example of plowing that one is commanded to do. So just like plowing is something that's optional and prohibited on Shabbos, so too harvesting that's optional, Af Kotzir Rishus, is prohibited on Shabbos. However, in the realm of harvesting, there is an example of the act of harvesting that we are commanded to do. And that's in the case of the harvesting of the barley grains that are brought as the Omer barley offering on the 16th of Nisan. That's called Ktsiras Omer. That is an obligation. It's an obligation to cut the grains. Even if you were to find, let us say, pre-cut grains, they are not suitable for the Omer. You have to cut grains for the purpose of bringing the Omer, and you can't use Stam pre-cut grains. So what about the cutting of Omer grains on a Shabbos? In other words, if the time for bringing the Omer falls out on Shabbos, shall I harvest them, the grains, for the Omer, even though it's Shabbos? And in fact, yes, you do. Yotza, Ktsir HaOmer Shu Mitzvah, to the exclusion of the case of Ktsir HaOmer. We say exclusion means Harisha tells us that these acts of Harisha and Ktsira are forbidden on Shabbos only when you're dealing with optional Harisha and Ktsira. However, when you're dealing with Ktsira that's not optional but obligatory, that you do on Shabbos, if that's when the Omer bringing falls out on a Shabbos. For Rabbi Shmuel, Moisif in Mechol al HaKodesh Minole, where does Rabbi Shmuel learn the concept of adding onto the mundane when it is connected to a holy time. Nafka le midasanya. Well, he learns it from this source. The pasuk says, "Vinisem es nafshei sechem batisha." And we should note, by the way, this is a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chof Gimel, pasuk Lamed Beis. So actually, before we read the continuation of the brisa, let's read the pasuk that we've included on the side of your Gemara. We're reading from Perek Chof Gimel, pasuk Lamed Beis. It says, "Shabbas Shabboson hu lochem." Pasuk referring to Yom Kippur, it's a day of cessation of creative activity. You shall afflict yourselves. But Tisha Lachidish Bo'erev, the ninth of the month in the evening. May Erev ad Erev Tishbesu Shabbatchem. From one evening to the next evening, roughly a 24-hour period. You shall observe this cessation. Now, we turn back to the Gemara. V'nisem es nafsho sechem betisha. Now, literally, it's you shall afflict yourselves. If you want to say it in simpler terms, you shall fast on the ninth of Tishrei. Yochol betisha. Does that mean that the day of the ninth of Tishrei, day we are supposed to spend in fasting? Tamud lomar bo'erev. Tells me, the pasuk says also bo'erev means from the evening. I bo'erev yochol mishetechshach. If you say bo'erev, which means in the latter part of the day, the evening, does that mean from after actual darkness, that the fasting starts at the appearance of three stars? Tamud lomar betisha. The pasuk says the ninth. The ninth is before the three stars appear. Once the three stars appear, that is already the tenth. Hoketzat. So how do you resolve these two phrases? You have bo'erev and you have betisha. Hoketzat. Maschil misanami ba'oyom. You start the fasting while it's still day. There's still the ninth. Malami, this shows us Shemoisifin Mechoil al HaKodesh, when the actual date of Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei. Nevertheless, we start observing Yom Kippur observances, for example, fasting, while it's still the end of the 9th, we're adding. Aimli Ela B'Knisoso. Well, this shows me that there's a concept of adding sanctity upon entrance. B'Yitzioso Minayin. What about at the departure of the holy day? Tamud lomar, may erev, ad erev. Just like at the beginning, we have this adding, so to ad erev, until the next evening, where we'll also practice this idea of adding. Ainli ela yom ha-kippurim. Well, up till this point, I see that the concept is appropriate only with regard to Yom Kippur, because that's the topic of this pasuk. Shabbosos minayin, regular Shabbosos throughout the year, how do we know this concept of Moisif and Mechol HaKodesh as well? Tamud lomar tishbesu. This you saw in the pasuk. Extra word. Yomim toivim minayin. How about holidays, other holidays, that we should apply this concept of Moisif and Mechol HaKodesh? Tamud lomar shabbatchem. This too was in the pasuk, an otherwise extra word. And so it's not extra, it's referring to holidays in general. Hoketzat, so how are we to make this out? Kol mokoim shiyesh boi shivus, wherever you have a situation that the Torah commands you to stop doing malachas, shivus is to cease, so moisifin mechoil ala kudish, we add to the time as well. Rabbi Akiva, hi, v'nisem es nafshei sechem betisha mai ovid lei. Well, what does Rabbi Akiva learn from this pasuk? The pasuk that Rabbi Shmuel just used to show us Tosefes Kedusha, adding sanctity. Rabbi Akiva already learned adding sanctity from Bechor Shuvukotzer Tishboi. So what does he learn from this? Mi boy alei l'chetetoni chiyo barav midifti. he needs it for the teaching that was made known by Chiyobarav. The Tani Chiyobarav Mitifti. Chiyobarav taught the following Tanaic source, and this source is something that Rabbi Akiva would have accepted. V'nisem es nafshesechem b'tisha. That's the pasuk we just read regarding Yom Kippur. V'chi b'tisha misanen v'alo b'asiri misanen. Do we really fast on the 9th? We fast on the 10th of Tishrei. So why does the pasuk indicate fasting on the 9th? Ela lomar loch. It teaches me. Chola oichel v'shoyse b'chi. Anyone who eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishrei, and if you can say anyone who is preparing himself for the Yom Kippur fast by eating and drinking on the 9th, Ma'ale Olav HaKosuv, the Torah gives him credit. Ki'ilu, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Ki'ilu His'anet Shiv Asiriyah. It's as if he fasted on both days. So just like everyone is aware of the merit of fasting on the 10th, the Yom Kippur fast, one should be aware that he has the same merit as if he fasted on Yom Kippur by his eating on the 9th, eating and drinking on the 9th. Before we continue, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, the topic heading and structural note combined into one note. A diamond is used here, one of our series markings, and we've also employed a numbering 1 through 3, and we write here Machlekes Tanoim Ma Mibein Mitzvus Yovel. You have Shofar, Dror, and Hachzoros Karka Me'akev L'Kfiyas Yovel. We're not going to get into the extensive details that are relevant to the Yovel year. However, there are three general points, three general mitzvahs. There's a shofar blowing, there is the freeing of the Jewish slaves, and there is the return of property to original owners. Three mitzvahs. Which one of these mitzvahs is binding, that without which it wouldn't be considered a Yovel year? By the way, the Yovel year is a year that's also forbidden in agricultural activity, just like a Shemitah year. But we are going to deal with the issue of some mitzvah. We have three opinions on this topic. One or some of these mitzvahs are binding, that if you don't do it, if you don't do one of these things, then it's not going to be considered a Yovel year with all that that implies. So the first approach, Roman numeral number 1, the Rabbi Yehuda, Shiluach Avodim, the freeing of slaves. Number 2, the Rabbi Yossi, Tkiyas Shofar, the blowing of the shofar. And number 3, the Chachomim, they will appear later on the Omid. You'll have to go down, at least halfway down the Omid, to discover the Chachomim, Shloshtan Ba'akvas. All three are binding. We now continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Yovel hi. But actually, we should bring your attention to the Psukim in Vayikra, Perek, Chof Hei, Psukim, Tes, and Yud. We made a reference to these Psukim earlier, but let's look at them again. It says in Pasuk Tes, after the Pasuk had told us about counting 7 years, that when we saw that in Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Tes says, V'avarta shofar trua b'chodesh ha-shvi b'esor l'chodesh, b'yom ha-kippurim taviru shofar b'chol artzachem. So there you see the reference to the blowing of the shofar. V'kidashtem eshnasa chamishim shonu krosem dror b'oretz. In this Pasuk Yud, you see krosem dror is a reference to the freeing of slaves. L'chol yoshva yoivel hi tielochem. V'shavtem ish al chuzoso. And then at the end of the Pasuk talks about the return of properties, which in our Gemara you might see the term Shmitas Karka or Shomtu. Shomtu has another meaning, and it's this point. It means the return of lands to original owners. So now the Gemara. Posuk says Yovel, he, in Posuk Yud it says it, Yovel afal pi shelo shamtu. It's Yovel even if there isn't a return of land to original owner. Afal pi shelo toku. It's also considered Yovel even if there's no shofar blowing. Yochel afal pi shelo shalchu. Would it be considered a Yovel even if people don't free their slaves? Talmud loimar he. He is a limitation expression that is it indicates something in this, that this is binding. That if you do this, it's Yovel, and if not, it's not Yovel. So that he tells me, according to, we should read Divrei Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, he tells me that the freeing of slaves is the binding factor. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Yovel he. He says, he looks at this pasuk and says, Afal pi shelo shamtu, afal pi shelo shalchu. Now with our markings, we've not underlined the point of difference. Rabbi Yosi says that it will be Yovel, even if they don't have land return. There, on that point, there's agreement. And he says, even if there is no freeing of the slaves. Yochel afal pi shelo toku, would it be considered a Yovel year even if there's no shofar blowing? Talmud lomar, he. The word he tells me that is binding. V'chime achar shemikro echod marbe, umikro echod mamit. From as far as the pasuk is concerned, one pasuk is inclusive, that it's a Yovel anyway. Another pasuk is exclusive, meaning that if you don't do this, it won't be a Yovel. Mipnei ma ani oimer Yovel afal pi shelo sholchu. Why is it then that I say that, here we have Rabbi Yosi saying it's a Yovel even without the sending, the freeing of slaves? The ein Yovel ela im kein toku, but it won't be a Yovel unless there is a shofar blowing. Why does Rabbi Yosi place such an emphasis on the shofar blowing? The Gemara answers, Lefi she'efshu le'olam b'loy shiluach avodim. Rashi says, she'efshu le'olam b'loy shiluach avodim, pa'amim she'ein eved ivri b'Yisrael she'yitan shiluach. You could have a situation where there is no Jewish slaves. There are no Jewish slaves that require being sent away, being sent home, being freed. The Gemara continues, V'i'ef shelo olam b'lo tekiyas shofar. Rashi says, V'i'ef shelo yehe shofar motzi b'olam. It's impossible to imagine a case that there's no shofar in the world. L'fikoch yesh lonu lomar k'shetola kosuv. Therefore, it's logical to say that when the pasuk makes Yovel dependent on something, lo tol ela b'dover ha-motzi le'olam, it's probably dependent on something that is available, that exists. So we don't want to make Yovel dependent on something that might not exist. The Gemara continues, dover acher, zu mesura le'beisdin, v'zu eino mesura le'beisdin. The blowing of the shofar is something that Beisdin has control over. The sending free of slaves is not something that that Beisdin has control over. Sending free of slaves is dependent on each slave owner, that he frees him. And if he resists, if he decides not to free him, so are you going to say that there should be no Yovel? My Dover Acher. Why was it necessary for the Brisa to introduce a second reason to emphasize the shofar as being the dependent factor on Yovel? V'chi teima, you might have argued, e'ef shur deleko chad b'soif ha'olam delo mishaleach. You might have wanted to argue that there can't be someone somewhere that doesn't need to free his slave. So that just like there's always a shofar, there's always a slave situation. So therefore, we respond, even so, the shofar, zu, mesur lebeisdin, the shofar is something that Basin has control over. The zu, the shiluach avodim, eino mesura lebeisdin, is not something Basin has control over. And as we said before, we don't want to make the yovel dependent on something that the Basin doesn't have control over. So up till this point we've explained Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is fine. He's given a reason why he feels that shofar is binding. Hello, the Rabbi Yehuda, my time. Rabbi Yehuda, why is it that shiluach avodim is ma'akev and not the shofar? Why is the freeing of slaves the binding factor for establishing a yovel year as such, and not the shofar blowing? Omar Kraw, Ukrosem Dror Boretz. You'll note that this was in Pasuk Yud, and here the positioning of the information is important to be aware of, and that's why you should have one finger on the Pasuk. Vikosovar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mikra Nidrash Lefonov. The Mikra is a reference to the word he. The word he, you can see also in Pasuk Yud, that was the word that said, that indicates something to be binding. So that word he, Nidrash Lefanov, is explained as referring to that which immediately preceded it, and that was the issue of the dror, the sending free of slaves. Veloi Lefnei Ponov, but the he, which is that binding word, is not darshaned, is not extended to that which was before that which was before. In other words, the shofar. Because the shofar in relative positioning to the word he is way before. So we look at that which was immediately before the word he, namely dror, freeing of slaves, and not shofar, which was way before. The kule alma, everyone, however, agrees, dror loshon cherus. The word dror is an expression referring to freedom. My mashma, how does the word dror imply freedom? Desanya, we have a source that says, ein dror elo loshon cherus. The word dror means freedom. Omer Abihuda, ma loshon dror, what does the word dror imply? Kemedayer beidayro umoivil schor b'chol medina. Medayer beidayro means that someone who has in his own power to choose to live wherever he wants and can conduct commerce throughout the land. That is that indicates freedom. So the word dror, you can see the shorish, the root of the word is dor, is to live. Someone who can choose to live wherever he wants and conduct business throughout the entire region. That's a free individual. And hence, the word dror indicates freedom. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zu divrei Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi. Till now, we've seen these two Tanaic opinions and what they hold to be binding and what's not binding with regard to establishing a Yovel year as a Yovel year. In other words, how do I know that a Yovel year will be usher in agricultural activity? So it depends on, according to Rebbe Yehuda, it depends on the freeing of the slaves. According to Rebbe Yossi, it depends on the blowing of the shofar. We continue in the Gemara. So far, we said those are the opinions of Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi. Avo chachomim oimrim shloshton ma'akvois. According to the chachomim, they all three mitzvahs, the shofar, shiluach avodim, and the return of karkois, are all binding factors. How do they come to their conclusion? Kosavri, they hold mikro nidrosh lefonov. The word he, which we said indicates something is binding, is darshaned, is explained as referring to lefonov, that which was before the word he, that was the case of dror, freeing of slaves. Ulifnei fonov, and the word he is attached also to that which was way before, the case of the shofar blowing. Ulaacharov, if you look in the pasuk, what comes right after the word he? Right after that it says, v'shavtem ish el achuzoso. people go back to their land. People are land is returned to their original owners. So the word he applies to that also. The Gemara asks, "V'haksiv yovel," but does the Torah not also write yovel, which had the implication that it's yovel anyway under all circumstances, even without performing something? The Gemara says, "Hahu." The word yovel that has this expansive nature is dafilu b'chutza la'aretz. It applies even to outside the land of Israel. Question: V'haksiv ba'aretz. The pasuk said ukros in pasuk yud. It said ukros and dror ba'aretz in the land of Israel. The Gemara answers: Hahu. The understanding of the psukim is as follows: Bizman shenoyeg dror ba'aretz. Noeg b'chutz la'aretz. When the yovel applies in the land of Israel, when it's practiced, when freeing of the slaves is practiced in Israel, so it's practiced outside the land of Israel. Bizman she'eno noeg b'aretz. When it's not practiced in the land, eno noeg b'chutz la'aretz. So yovel is not observed in chutz la'aretz either. And there are rules regarding that which is beyond the purview of this Gemara, but there is a situation when yovel, in fact, nowadays, for example, we don't observe yovel, and there are reasons for that. We can say that we don't have an ingathering of of all 12 tribes in the land of Israel, so that might be one of the binding factors in order for yovel to be operative. So it's not observed nowadays in Israel, so it's not observed in Chutz La'aretz either. But when it is observed in the land of Israel, the word yovel tells me that it is to be observed. The rules of yovel are to be observed. For example, the freeing of slaves is to be observed in Chutz La'aretz as well. We continue in the Gemara. Ulinetio. Aleph Tishrei is the beginning of years regarding the Tiyah, regarding Orla. Orla is the halacha that a fruit tree, one is usher to benefit from the fruit during the first 3 years of that tree's life. Minolan, from where do we know that it's Rosh Hashanah is from Tishrei, that we start the counting of years at Tishrei. And we'll see a bit later that enables us to say that if a person had planted a tree a little before Tishrei, we'll have to see how much before, but a little before Tishrei, when Tishrei comes around, that will count as a new year, as year two. So he can get credit toward the 3 year Orla forbidden period, even with a partial year at the beginning. So where do we know that Tishrei counts as a new year regarding the counting of the Orla years? Minolan Tichtiv Sholosh Shonim Arelim. Pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim in Vayikra Perek Yudtes that for 3 years the fruit is called Arelim. It, for our purposes, it means is forbidden. Uksiv ubashana horavi'is. And it says there in the continuation of the psukim, it says that on the fourth year, then the fruit can be eaten. Of course, there's certain rules regarding the fourth year, which the Torah tells us, the fourth year the fruit is sanctified. It can be eaten in Yerushalayim, but we're not going to get involved with those details right now. V'yolif shana shana mitishrei. And we have a word comparison from Tishrei. The word shana is compared. Dichtiv me reishis hashana. This is something we have seen already in our shiurim. The pasuk me reishis hashana is a reference to Tishrei. So you see the word shana in this word, in this pasuk, which is we'll call it a Tishrei Pasuk, and you find the word Shona in the case of the Dinim of Orla, Hence, Orlo also is governed by Tishrei. That represents a new year. V'ligmar, the Gemara asks, why not learn a word comparison, Shana Shana Minisan? Why not compare the laws of Orlo to that which we see in the case of Nisan as being the beginning of a year? Dichtiv, where the Pasuk says, this too we've seen in the past, Rishon hu lochem l'chodshei hashana. That's a reference to the month of Nisan, and in this Pasuk you see the word Shana. So, regarding Orla counting, the 3 years, a new Orla year is ushered in at Nisan. The Gemara says, no, I'm not going to learn Orla from the Nisan Pasuk. Donin Shana She'enimo Chadoshim, Mishana She'enimo Chadoshim. I'm going to learn the dinim of Netiyah, of Orla, where the Pasuk uses the word Shana without Chadoshim, without any reference to months, from another Pasuk where only a year is mentioned and no reference to months. That's in the Tishrei Pasuk. V'ein Donin Shana She'enimo Chadoshim, and I'm not going to learn the rules of Orla of Netiyah, where the word Shana appears without months, Mishana sheyeshimo chadoshim, from the case of Nisan, where the word Shana appears together with months. They're unlike in that respect, hence that is not going to be my source of Shana for Netiyah. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. The Nosei reads, Toisefes Shmita, the concept of adding to Shmita. Tanu Rabbanan, Echad Hanoitea V'Echad HaMavrich V'Echad HaMarkiv Erev Shvius. One who's engaged in these different types of tree cultivation activities. Noteas, planting a sapling. Mavrich, we have a little illustration, it's a bit of a crude piece of artwork, but you have to make do. You have on the side of the Gemara an example of mavrich, where you take a tree branch and you bend it downwards and have it curve where the middle of the tree branch is underground and the tip is exposed later on. It's bent over in a U shape. Eventually, roots grow from the point of the branch that's bent underground. That's a process called mavrich. That and markiv is grafting. If one does these activities on a tree, erev shvius, that's on the sixth year of the seven-year sabbatical cycle. So you do this erev shvius. Shloishim yoyim lifnei Rosh Hashanah, also loy shana umuter lekaimon b'shvius. There are two points of halacha over here. First of all, also lo shana means it counts the 30 days that you did this before the onset of Rosh Hashanah. Those 30 days are going to count for you as a year in the Orla counting, so that when Rosh Hashanah comes about, that will be the second year, and then you'll have to just keep another year. Sum total, you will have kept regarding this Orla tree 2 years and 30 days, 2 years and a month, and you will have observed the necessary prohibition time. Now, mutar l'kaimon b'shvius, if this is done as the brisa opened up, erev shvius, so you can keep these trees around. You haven't done anything wrong by having done it close to Shemitah year, but you did it 30 days before the onset of Shemitah. Pachos mishloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah. If, however, you did any of these things, you planted the sapling, or you did the havrocha, or you did the grafting, within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, within 30 days of Aleph Tishrei, then lo also lo shana, it's not going to count as a year toward your three-year Orla prohibition. And in such a case, you'll have to observe 3 full years, not 2 years and 30 days. And the oser lekaimon b'shvius. We will not allow you to keep them if it's an erev shvius. If you did this with less than 30 days before a Shemitah year, so you won't be able to keep them around because you violated what's called toisefes shvius. Like we discussed earlier, you did not add from the mundane onto the holy. In the case of Shemitah, the amount of time is dictated as 30 days. We continue at the top of Daf Yud. Uperos Natiya Zu Asurim Ad Tu Vishvat Im L'Orlo L'Orlo V'Im L'Ravai L'Ravai. When we speak about the fruit of an orla plant, it's true, we said that if you plant the tree 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, so that will count as your first year toward the 3 years. So you're counting, you're getting, after just 30 days, you're getting a credit of a year. However, if the fruits, let's now look at things at the end of the 3 year period, so to speak. So you observed your basic, you observed your 30 days, that's year one, then year two complete, and then year three complete. Any fruit that blossoms before Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat of the following year, in that scenario we'll call it in the fourth year, but any tree, any fruit that blossoms before Tu B'Shvat is going to still be considered forbidden fruit. It's still associated with the third year. And if you're dealing with the laws of Revai, which states that in the fourth year of a fruit tree's development, the fourth year fruits must be treated with a certain... You can eat them, but you have to take them to Jerusalem. They have to be treated with a certain level of sanctity. The same thing applies to fruits in the that blossom in the fifth year, but prior to Tu B'Shvat. They remain, we'll say, with the Revai fourth year fruit restrictions. This information is explained in Rashi. Let's read the Rashi together. It's very valuable information. Uperis Natiya Zu Asurim V'chulei V'Afal Pi Shamarnu Olso Lo Shana. Even though we said that the 30 days counts as a year, in other words, you have a fragment of a year counting as a year, im chontu ba peros la'acha Rosh Hashanah shel shana harevius, if fruit blossoms after Rosh Hashanah of the fourth year, and again, when we said fourth year, we told you the first year was really 30 days, then you have year two, a complete year, year three, a complete year. Now we're after that, year three, and we're talking about fruits that blossom immediately after Rosh Hashanah. Adayin asurin heina lomis mishum orla. They still retain an orla identity. Shafapisha Rosh Hashanah Tishrei l'netia, even though the beginning of Tishrei represents a new year with regard to orla. Tu B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilon. The 15th of Shvat is considered the new year with regard to the fruits. V'zu kvar nasis ilon. This has already become an ilon, a tree, a fruit tree. L'fikoch ein shnosa mischadeshes lotzeis midei orlo ad Tu B'Shvat. Therefore, it's, because it has an ilon, a tree, a fruit tree status, its newness, to be considered a new year, with regard to leaving the restrictions of Orla, that doesn't take place until Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat. Avol Misham Ulahalon, if, however, fruits blossom only after that point, Im Yechantu Bo Peros, then Din Revai Alehem, Le'echol B'Yushalayim, then the rules of the fourth year will apply to those fruits, which tell you you must eat them in Yerushalayim, U'betu B'Tesvav L'Shon Habo, and the next year, 15th of Shvat, Yotsu Midei Revai, Peros HaChanutin Bo Mikan Veilech. Any fruit that blossoms in that year, that subsequent year, that blossoms after the 15th, will then leave the Revai rules, and you can eat them at home, wherever you live. L'kach Ho'ilu Lo Shloishim Shlifnev Shon Shemayu Hetero Mitu B'Shvat V'Yad Rosh Hashanah. You do benefit, though, by counting those first 30 days at the very beginning of the planting, that you get full credit of a year, so that you'll be able to start benefiting from the fruits from Tu B'Shvat onwards. So at this point in the Gemara, we have learned that the Shemitah year has a Tosefis period that's associated with it. And we also learned that in order to benefit from fruits, Tu Bishvat has significance. The Gemara, as it continues, deals with how do you know that the Orla status can continue into what's formally called the fourth year, and likewise that the Revai Halacha can continue into the next year, which is formally speaking the fifth year. As we said before, depending on whether it at what point the fruit blossoms. So if fruit blossoms in the fourth year, but before Tu B'Shvat, it will have the din of Orla extending into the fourth year. And likewise, in the fifth year, if the fruit blossoms before Tu B'Shvat of that fifth year, it will have the din of Revai. Revai means the fourth year laws, so that you have Revai extending into the fifth year. Meno hani mili, from where do we know this? Amr Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Umotu bo mishmei de Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and some say in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Omar Kra. Here, the Gemara is very terse in its posuk quotations, but in Vayikra Perikut Tes, you have to look at the psukim Chof Dalin and Chof Hei, and we have included that on the side of the Gemara. You can see that in posuk Chof Gimel, the Torah referred to the 3 years of Orla. And then you read immediately the beginning of Pasuk Chatav says, Uba Shana Horavius. So that what you're reading in effect is, Areilim Lo Ye'ochel Uba Shana Horavius, that you shall not eat the fruits also in the fourth year, as if they're Orla. And when you look at the Pasuk Chof Hei is coming on the tails of Pasuk Chof Dal. Pasuk Chof Dal spoke about the fourth year fruits. So it says in Pasuk Chof Dal, fourth year fruits are Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, they are sanctified and to be eaten in Jerusalem. U'bashama Chamishas, and likewise with regard to the fifth year fruits. So the Gemara says, after quoting these fragments of the psukim, pa'omim sheberevius vadayan asur mishum orla, sometimes you can be in the fourth year and it still has the orla restriction, meaning the fruit is totally forbidden. Pa'omim shebechamish, sometimes you could be in the fifth year. This, of course, is the case where the fruit blossoms before Tu B'Shvat, before the 15th of Shvat of that fifth year. Vadayin asura mishum revai, the fruits are still usur, having the revai restrictions, i.e., having to bring them to Jerusalem and eat them there. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.